Hi, this is Colin Power, broadcasting the solutions to pi, infinity, and the Riemann hypothesis. Okay, a few questions have come back, about the number I and various things like that. Yeah, that's right. In fourth dimensional mathematics, things change quite a bit, and we're going to show you how that works. And if you didn't like the fact that I've just destroyed the number I in my last broadcast, you're probably not going to like the fact that I'm just about to destroy something we call algebra in this broadcast. So if you thought destroying number I was quite a dramatic shift for mathematics, destroying algebra in the fourth dimension is probably akin to destroying Newtonian mathematics in quantum physics. What it shows is that actually fourth dimensional mathematics, what I'm going to show, can actually x in algebraic terms can actually equal infinity in all cases, and that's quite disturbing, and I'm going to show you exactly how that works. So remember, everything from the fourth dimensional mathematic comes from logic of the division of infinity, which in turn leads to the squaring of zero. The squaring of zero, in turn, creates the cross and all of that business. We've been talking quite a lot about some of that. So what we need then is we need to, instead of, if we're going to move in fourth dimension, we start to think in terms of ordinal numbers. And so when we start to think of that, we start to form concepts of what is the smallest algorithm. Algorithms are what infinity is based on, if you think of it, yeah? We have the infinity equation, which is 0 plus or minus 1 equals infinity. And really what that's saying is you can carry on into infinity, and the further you move away from 0, the larger the space between you and infinity gets. And that's a pretty difficult concept. It's like having this kind of mirror in front of you that as you walk away, as you walk towards the space, you know, you take a step in one direction and suddenly the space doubles, and you take another step and it doubles again. And every time you're moving, you're always at the half point of infinity, you see. And so this is something called geo-relativistic theory, which says that, you know, there's always a double beyond you, and there's always a double between you. Each observer then can be orientated within fourth dimensional space on that basis. That brings in the concept of 2 and 4 and all of that stuff as unit measures within geoquantum relativistic theory. Anyway, we can do more on geoquantum theory at some point. But what I want to now discuss is the why algebra doesn't work in the fourth dimension. So basically, if we take the number 0, and we can take the number 0 in fourth dimension, and we can divide 0 in the fourth dimension as well. So we can divide by the number 1, for example, yeah? If we've got the number 1, the other thing that we can do then is plus 1. And when we look at the square root of 2, what we find is that the square root of 2 plus 1 and the square root of 2 minus 1 becomes what we call the Silver mean. And so that plus 1 isn't just anything, it's quite an important function within the number 2 and the square root of 2 and all that business. But we're going to look at it from the perspective of 0 at the moment, so 0 divided by 1 plus 1, and what that equals, it gives us the number 1. So that's all good, so we can put the number 1 into the next step number 2, what we find is we get the number 1 divided by 1 equals 1 plus 1 equals 2. And what we find as we progress through the infinite series is that we are able to create two sets of number, from the first equation, which starts at 0, 0 divided by 1, and carries on to infinity, and one which counts the equation. Oh, we've done one equation, if you like, let's add 1 to the number, that's our first step, and that becomes an ordinal number. And so we've got two sets of infinite numbers. We've got one set which is our cardinal numbers and one set which are our ordinal numbers in series. And that's all through just the numbers 1 and 0 divided by plus 1. Okay, everything jolly good. So now that we've made all of the infinite set of whole numbers, we don't need anything more to make the infinite whole set of numbers. That's how we've made them. We've made them just by that simple algorithm. And we can use those numbers for, you know, Newtonian mathematics, okay? If you like, yeah, or if we say the algebraic math. However, what we can also do is we can say, okay, well, what happens if we change the algorithm? So what we do is now, instead of the number 1, we use the number minus 1. So 0 divided by minus 1 plus minus 1 will be the equation, the start off that. And when we roll into that equation, what we find is we find that the 1 actually flips into a negative. And instead of actually progressing through a number series, we find that we're actually progressing through an on-off switching of binary code from plus 1 to minus 1. Minus 1, 0, minus 1, 0, minus 1, 0. And what happens is that when we stop the calculation, say we stop the calculation at any point, that negative will suddenly flip into a positive. And so what we're talking about here is these are, we call the ticking of time numbers, if you like. They tick left and right, tick, 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 tick. And when we stop counting, tick, 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 we've stopped counting, what happens is they'll flip over and they'll give us that point in infinity where we've stopped counting. And that's the fourth dimensional concept of numbers. And so, and how do I know that's true? Okay, yeah, so let's just take a time to reflect on what I'm actually saying here. What I'm actually saying is that we can count numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and when we get to the number 10, we say, hey, look, here's 10, and we know that because we've made 10 steps. So it's the fact that we've made, actually we haven't, we took one step, was 1, yeah, but we started at 0 point, yeah? So we've gone from 0 to 10, but we've taken 10 steps, yeah? So in other words, it equals 11. So what happens there is that we have to minus 1 off the ordinal, off the spatial number from the ordinal in order to get the actual spatial ordinance, if you think, yeah, that's the actual time. Right now we've zero time, bang, this is the number we've just selected. And you can do that up into infinity, and there will always be a plus one. The plus one will always exist in front of any number, and that's what we say, you know, as you walk towards a number. But so will its squaring function. So its squaring function will be like the double of it, yeah? Because it will exist as a potential in the second number line once we do actually hit zero squared. But you don't see it in the one dimension, because the squares, like, if you imagine like taking a square and seeing it on its side, you don't see the potential because it's actually going downwards through the number line, if you like. You know, you're looking at just one dimensional number line and you're looking at a square on its side. But when you square something, the square pops up and you say, oh, there it is. And actually it turns out to be a quarter pi once we maintain infinity at its at equidistance. You can't change the density, you see. So that's how that kind of works. Right. So now we've got that that kind of all mathematically in place. We can see how numbers work and all of that stuff. Now let's see what happens if we try and move the number. So we're going to try now and move it to the next whole number. We're going to take the number 2, yeah? And what we find is that when we take 0 divided by 2 plus 2, is that the number doesn't actually go up. It doesn't actually go up through infinite number series. No, what it does, it congeals. It congeals towards the number, well, we call it 3.9999999. In mathematics, you call it 4. But in fourth dimensional mathematics, that's what we call it, yeah, because there's a difference between 4 and 39999. But still, I've devolved the number, you see? And so actually, I moved the equation to the infinite, and I've devolved the number. All right, so, right, okay, so number 2 now, when I devolve it through infinity, becomes number 4. Close enough, 3.99999, yeah? And so I can say the same actually for number 2, we can get to that in a bit, but we can do the same sort of thing. And so actually what we see is actually that in the infinite mathematics, the number 2 is the number 4. So what happens then if I change, let's say we're not going to start at 0. We're going to start another number. We're going to change the number to the number 2 and see what happens. And we're going to see what happens. And what we find is that if we change the number 2, is the result still equals 4. Right? Now, think about that. The result still equals 4. Okay, well, let me change to another number. I'll try a fraction. And I have to put in a fraction there. And my God, you know, still no joy. And actually, all whole numbers above 1, there's no actual number that will work. So you see what the problem is here, right? Is that we've got no number that will work. X equals infinity. So if X equals infinity, that means all X's equal infinity. And at that point, you might say, well, if all X is equal infinity, how does algebra work? And that's what we mean. Algebra just does not work at the fourth dimension. When you walk into the fourth dimension, when we devolve a number, that number is a real number, what we call a real number. You can put any X be actually anything, but you will not change the result because the algorithm of time has set it in place. We've used the algorithm of time now, the ordinal numbers, and we've created a solid number at the base. And you might think that that's pretty bad, because obviously, you know, that means that all of the X squared in fourth dimensional mathematics that deals with infinite algorithms, none of it works anymore. And you'd be absolutely right. And the problem with that is that when we think about it, the mathematics of infinity is something that deals with how the universe works. And the current scientific model is using, you've guessed it, it's using algebra. So it's like using Newtonian mathematics to try and uncover the fourth dimension of space. It doesn't work. We know that's true because when we made an attempt to elevate mathematics into another dimension through the number I, the Schrodinger equation equations, we were able to collapse them. Uses the number I, you can look into some of that stuff, but the equations are so complicated no one can do it, and the reason is because we're missing the extra numbers of the fourth dimension. But once we realize those numbers are there, actually we can collapse the Schrodinger equations quite easily, just by 0 squared 0 to the power of 3. It just collapses them, and it does that because actually if you look at the orbitals, you will find that they form a circle. The p orbitals, a line if you like, which will be, you know, 0 divided. Then you've got the d orbitals, which form a square, that will be 0 squared, and then we'll get the last set of d orbitals, which will be in a hexagonal format, which will be 0, 3, and that's all we need for the atom. So you can see how very simple fourth dimensional mathematics just rips through Schrodinger equations like child's play. Anyway, you can get more into that into the mathematics of fourth dimensional mathematics of the atom in our atomic geometry lessons. In any event, just going back now to the concept, we don't have any algebra in 4D. So what we do have is a set of numbers that are real numbers, and we can do that for any whole number or any number. Any number will lead to an infinite, yeah, which will be a real number, and it doesn't matter. You can use a fraction to divide something, except, of course, when you go into a negative space, reciprocal space. In other words, let's say I take the number 7, and we're doing all of that work with the number 7, and it devolves into a certain number, and there's nothing we can do to change it, yeah? But when I go into 1 over 7, something quite bizarre happens. Suddenly what happens is we get a massive array of new numbers just emerging in a random sequence that just explodes into infinity, and within that array we see primes mixed in, we see all sorts of crazy stuff going on. And so actually, God, what we've done is we've just put the 1 over the 7, and we've just seen a load of crazy numbers popping out in the fourth dimension. And so what it says is that although we see something that is just quite an unmovable calculation, when we move into the reciprocal space, we realize actually each one of those numbers means something. It's just we can't interpret it with our consciousness because it looks like the same number. And that's where we get into our new technology of fourth dimensional, which we call dissolution waves. And that's because each one of these waves will dissolve in a certain way, and we can map the way that it dissolves through the number curvature. And when we can compare those curvatures, we find that, for example, if we take the number pi dissolving into the square root of 2, there will be a unique signature that defines pi. And that's how we come to our fourth dimensional solution for pi, through finding what we call the bounce point of a number, and then finding from that bounce point the dissolution wave into one thing to another. And so that's how fourth dimensional mathematics works. It doesn't work in the same way. You can't use algebra, but it does work quite well because obviously we can form calculations from these real numbers. And what happens is that we find that we can actually create prime numbers without the need for any kind of multiplication, just through division and plus one, and that's it. So if we can make all of the prime numbers just from division and plus one, we've got a problem, because actually the definition of primes in three-dimensional normal mathematics is that the number that you can only divide by one in itself. But if you're going to put a division into that very equation, and the number one into that very equation, then you can see that we can run with the concept, can't we? Yeah, because one plus one has to be there, doesn't it? Yeah, and also basically we have to have the concept of a division by one. Okay, so those two concepts are there. So we've got plus one, we've got division by one. Yeah, that creates, as we said, when we put it into the zero line, it creates the infinity of whole numbers. And when we transpose that same set of mathematical cluster of algorithm, if you like, and we put it into a higher number in the infinite plane, which is the number 2, for example, that devolves down to 4, when we find the reciprocals, we find all other primes and all other things like that start to pop out. Furthermore, because as we dissolve into the number 4, we get a remainder number, which will be you can use those combinations of two numbers as we split the number 4 through infinity. We call it, like cracking the two and then making a 4, yeah, and that's how it works. So we crack it over the number 1 and we divide it, and that's how the number 4 divides up. And as it does, it goes through a certain dissolution wave, and we track that wave. That's the basis of fourth dimensional mathematics. And just to sort of clarify, algebra does not work, and neither does the number, you got it, neither does the number I. The number I doesn't work, and neither does algebra in fourth dimensional mathematics. And if none of those things work, the conclusion, well, I'll let you come to your own conclusion. Okay, so this has been Colin Power talking about the fourth dimension of mathematics, with our 4D math, explaining why algebra doesn't work when we go to the fourth dimension, but when we go into fourth dimensional mathematics, everything works absolutely perfectly. And on top of that, we can also collapse incredibly complicated equations such as Schrodinger equations within a very, very few flicks of a mathematical calculation. So there we are. So all that's us for this broadcast. Any other questions, feel free to ask. My name's been Colin Power, broadcasting on behalf of Into Infinity, taking you through the Pi-Riemann hypothesis solution.